Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hello. In this episode, it's a hoovering first, actually. I am in an eatery that isn't even open yet in the soon-to-become Peace and Riot in Dulwich, a parent and kid-friendly cafe, restaurant, support place and workspace. And I'm hoovering there. I'm hoovering the cakes that will be on sale there from the 21st of June when it opens, with the place's founder and CEO, Caroline Newt Hardy, and her kitchen managers, which is like head chefs, but like leveled up, Hannah and Rachel. They are also happen to be the talent behind Butch Salads. Rachel's been on the podcast before. And they're amazing. Before we get into it, please may I remind you to come to the Hoovering Live at the Underbelly Festival on the 17th of July. Joe Brand is going to be one of my guests and we're going to have the times of our lives. It's in Soho. Tickets are available. There are links to everything in the podcast and including tickets to the live show. All links in the podcast notes. Or if you just Googled Hoovering Live at the Underbelly Festival. It's at 5 p.m. in the afternoon, so you've absolutely got time to come to that before you go out. I've got dates in the diary for Hench as well, the show that got curtailed tour-wise by the pandemic. I'm wrapping it up with some dates in London in June, which there are only standing tickets left for at the Soho Theatre, and then on tour. There's definitely still tickets in Newcastle, Manchester, Sheffield and Bristol. That's at the end of July and the start of August. Tickets for all of that available on my website, jessicafostercue.com. But as I said, links to everything I've just mentioned there are in the podcast notes, like they always are. Anything in capitals in the podcast notes means it's a link that you can use. Thanks for listening to Hoovering. I love it when you tell other people about it. You can do that by subscribing to it. That helps make it its way up the old charts, apparently, and makes more people find out about it. Give it a 5-star review. That helps. Or now, I mean, we're allowed to meet up with people again. You can just tell people about it if you want. You can just talk about it. I feel like I've had quite a few people sort of seeing me round and about South East London and saying, hello, I like your podcast. That's nice. That's also nice. Thanks very much. If you'd like to support the podcast financially, you'd be so welcome. You can give it a one-off fiver or tenner on Acast Supporter, or you can become a regular helper. Go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod and I will swap your money for excellent things like discount tickets to the aforementioned live show. Right, let's have a lovely podcast, shall we? The only thing to note is that we were recording outside in what at the time was a restaurant that's still being built. So there are the sounds of it being outside and raining and stuff, but it does improve very quickly into the conversation. So bear with it. It was worth it to be there together, ready for the beginning of a brilliant new place to be and to eat, opening on the 21st of June. This is Hoovering with the creative masterminds behind Peace and Riot.
And so we're here, we're in real life, and there's noise, but it's, you can't help it because of real life. And we're being rained on, but we're outside with hot water bottles. It's so nice. I'm putting my coat back on. I had to take it off for my wee wee because of my dungarees. And that's how I open the podcast. And I'm Jess, and who are you?
We're Rachel and Hannah from Butch Salads. Yeah, and we're at Peace and Riot, newly opened cafe in
about to open on the first day of our new roles as joint kitchen managers, yeah,
kings of the kitchen, overlords of the chefs.
Yes, exactly. That's what the role said as well.
Yeah. Is it? And we, Rachel, we've hoovered together before, and you made me some actual butch salads that were so fit. And I've made them loads of times since, and I've had probably more people asking about the recipes for those.
Wow.
And saying that they've done the recipes for those out of my papers than anything else at
school. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
It was so lush.
That's so nice.
Anyway, so yeah, we're basically preparing for the opening of a brand new cafe restaurant, but it's a bit more than that, isn't it? So yeah, it's in South East London in Dulwich, and like, it's thrilling. I've never heard of anywhere like it, but it's probably because I'm not very cool. It's like you can become a member and then you get childcare.
Yeah.
And you get to work without your child while your child is having an educational and loving time. Have I made it sound creepy?
No,
basically, you get to like be a really great parent whilst being absent from your child, which is
in a really nice environment.
In such a nice environment.
Cool.
In Dulwich, which makes you feel so nice.
You get to maybe like actually eat your lunch without having to feed fish fingers into a toddler's mouth at the same time.
Yeah, you get to put them just straight into your mouth. Will there be fish fingers on the menu?
I think there might be some fish fingers.
I love fish fingers, and I don't feel like I have enough of them now.
We're going to change that.
And we're not having fish fingers to Hoover today because we're doing pudding testing. Oh, shit. Amazing. Got two piles of cakes in front of us. I think we can sort of stop and start on them, but I think I might need to have a little bit of a try of something first just to
I think you ought to.
Without looking at
energy.
Them. For actual fuel, and also because I can't, the proximity is too distracting and it's actually hindering me as a podcast host.
You'll be pleased to hear that Rachel and I obviously tried them all before you arrived.
Oh, did you?
Just
great.
To make sure that they were actually cake.
Because shall I play Guess a Cake?
Go for it.
But
carrot.
That means they're all for
well
you.
Done. Carrot. Lemon and poppy seed.
Oh, 10 points.
Chocolate brownie.
Yes.
That looks like, it looks like a pan au chocolat, but in the shape of a muffin. Is it one of those cruffin things?
No, it's like a bit like a cinnamon bun, but the chocolate equivalent of a cinnamon bun.
Oh my fucking God.
Chocky bum bum.
Over there, I'm more at a loss. I think there's a tarte au citron.
Yeah.
With a light burnt bit of lemon on top. I want that.
Oui, chef. Actually, they're both very beige yellow-brown plates.
Well, that's the nature of a cake, isn't
exactly.
it? Unless we're having a red velvet. And what are those ones with a nut on top that I brought up to say wrong? Oh, no, I know how to say almond. That's a Bakewell. And then there, that's made of...
That's a vegan banana.
That's the lockdown
vegan
special,
banana.
Isn't it? Everyone's favourite
Of course. The banana loaf.
Exactly.
With some... This is how my family say it. Walnuts on top. You can
laugh
at
really
that.
Good.
That's how they
say
it.
That's
good. My nana says, walnuts. Walnuts. And we all took the mickey and then we realised my mum says, walnut. She just starts out with walnut. So now it's just a matter of time until I say. I do struggle to say it normally because I'm too busy doing an impression of them saying walnut. Walnut.
Walnut.
Walnut.
Walnut.
Yeah.
Walnut.
Walnut.
Okie dokie. Where to begin? I want that one.
You need to
big.
Do some cake. Yeah,
yeah.
Go for it.
It's like the one that's like a big chocolatey corner.
Do some cake.
Yummy. I should say that we're recording next to the one Portaloo, so every now and again we will say hello to a really friendly.
We reserve the best table in the house.
You've joined us.
Hello.
And this is your place. Bonjour. Tell us about it.
Hello. So this is Peace and Right, and there's the tag. Well, I had to raise funds for this. It became very clear early on that I'm quite poor at summing it up quite quickly. So I've got a few taglines that I rely on and hope that that...
Gives a fucking tagline.
So it's kitchen, bar and workspace with childcare on site. Mm-hmm. And our peacekeepers... keep the peace. our peacekeepers work like home helps would, except that you're not at home. Okay. That's basically it. And then things are like home from home, but better, all that sort of stuff. And it really just came from two things. My first paternity leave. So my first kid, I should have phrased that. Both kids were wanted, but my first kid was one. No, sorry. It took 7 years.
Yeah.
For the first one to appear. And, you know, it's not, we were trying for 7 years, not showing off, but we were. And it was not much fun. Oh, dear, that's worse. Anyway, and so he was very, very wanted, but maternity leave was terrible. I did not enjoy it. Like, all the places that I wanted to go to or previously could go to didn't want me anymore. And I told myself it was because of the child. Or the places. And it was the places that I wanted, that they wanted me, I did not want to set foot in. And then I had a friend who, and then second, and then you sort of, you know, it was bad, and you forget, you go back to work, you're like, oh, thank God that's done. And I have a second maternity, and I thought, oh, I forgot how horrific this is.
Yeah.
And it was coupled with a friend of mine suffered from really quite bad postnatal depression.
Yes.
Not funny.
Yeah.
And she did say that a lot of it was to do with identity. She felt, you know, at the time when she was feeling calmer and less, you know, she didn't have manic postnatal depression, but she had it badly, but, you know. And I thought, I've got to do something about this, you know. And I've had it, and talked to other friends, and other people had it, and it's that thing of parity of self-esteem.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, weirdly, there's a really funny, I can't remember the group it's on, but on Facebook, like one of those groups. So-and-so. Yeah. Local group, whatever.
Mumslet local.
Well, no, local group. And then it's like, there's that Guardian article that came out recently about a pub in Crystal Palace, the Alma, that says no children at a certain, or at all, or I can't remember.
Crystal Palace has kind of gone through it. Yeah, sorry, that's a...
It has. Yeah.
I had an interesting experience
there
when my son was tiny, with a place that we used to go to all the time.
Yeah.
And loved taking our babies there. And they were tiny babies and they weren't annoying anyone. They were like either eating or sleeping. But like it was... And then it closed and reopened with like high stools to get rid of us.
Yeah.
And a no buggies rule.
Yeah.
And there was a little sort of pathetic little kickoff about it.
Yeah.
But they were like, look, we've got... The area changed. It became full of people with babies. And like five of our regulars stopped coming, so we've made it no babies. And I was like, I understand. And I sort of backed off, actually, and then was like, you're fucking yourself up the arse.
Yeah.
Financially.
Yeah.
You are, as a business. Like, your area's changed, your dick. You need to move.
Yeah.
Not welcome the people who live here now.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I think there's you're making a lovely articulate from this point. And I got angry about something that happened to me.
But it...
Just me.
Which is your experience.
Okay, yeah.
So that's fine. It's valid. But it is the same thing, though. So in that chat, it was about exactly the same. Why are parents so entitled? Like, so it is just a need. It is a customer need. It is not that someone has, you know, as a... never mind. But anyways, you've built a human. You don't walk around going, I built a human to give me a seat. It's literally, I'm a person with needs. Could I please have them met as a customer? And I'm giving you money. Like, it's not a dickish move.
No,
like, it's just... Hello, this is it. You know, like, oh, it's the same as, you know, I've got a bag. Could you help me put it? You know, I don't know, like anything. Or I've got crutches. Whatever it is, suddenly you have a human being who is responsible for another human being, possibly slightly in shock. But either way, it doesn't matter whether it is still valid. It's just a customer's needs. That's all it is. So I don't really understand that. And I'm convinced it is a feminist issue.
Yes.
It is. Everything is. And it's all that thing. It's like people sort of say, I don't know why you expect help getting on a bus with a buggy. If you had a suitcase, you'd help them. It wouldn't be like, oh, you're so entitled on your holiday with your suitcase.
I had a crazy experience, actually, yesterday on a train. We have to share this story.
Yeah, no, sorry,
We will have to talk about eating at some point.
Yeah, sorry.
My bad. But I can't believe this still happens. I was on the train with my 5-year-old back from town, and a lady got on with her buggy, and she was sort of stepping on backwards. It's a small buggy because it was a new baby. And she got the front wheels trapped between the doors. And
it was fine.
It was still a few minutes until the doors going, but there was a guard walking past. And I hadn't realised she was stuck. I thought she was just taking her time. And she said, "Excuse me, can you help me?" in a way that was quite panicked. And he started shouting at her. He was like, "What are you doing? Why are you getting on like that? What are you doing?"
Yeah, so she made a mistake.
I couldn't bear it. I just sort of leapt up and helped her on and said to the man, she just asked for help, not to be told off, not for advice. And he lost it. A guard that works for South Eastern Trains. It was horrible. And he starts shouting at me and he went off and she said, "Thank you." And she said, "I've never been out with him before, ever, on a train."
Oh,
it's so frightening. And the last thing you need is to be bollocked by someone you were asking for help. I'm sorry, I can't stand it.
Yeah.
And I sat there and I did, in front of my five-year-old, say, "Fucking men." And then, and it was all so tense. And then the guard got back on to shout at me again and went, "When something's none of your business, you back off." And I went, "I have backed off. I don't want any trouble. I don't want any of this aggression. I don't want any trouble." And he went, "Careful." And I said, "Did you say careful?"
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then he got off. And I thought, "Do I make a complaint?" And I thought, "No, I didn't get his name. I don't want to just describe him." But I'll say it again. Fucking men. Okay. Sorry, like, no one asked for that aggression.
No.
Like, it's
vile.
Yeah. Anyway.
None of us are going, "Oh, what a surprise." We're going, "Yeah."
Exactly.
Say scrumdiddlyumptious. And then you can be in my podcast.
So this is going to be a space with many hats, but ultimately it is for parents with young kids.
Yeah, and we have the childcare. It's not a creche, it's not a nursery, and it's trying to reflect that thing of, I mean, pre-lockdown it was harder to get people to understand that this idea, but it's the fact that we tend to sort of go with families and, you know, people without, you know, never mind. But so careful with wording. That you think they need to be separate. It's not necessarily the case. You might just want them near you, so you don't have this, because the build up of going to someone with a creche is, what I'll do is in your head, I'll just tie them over, and if I just keep them occupied, and I'll tell them about it, or should I tell them about it? Maybe it'd be better if I prepared them. Maybe they won't be better if I prepared them. Maybe I should just, and then, you know, you have that conversation. Yeah. Wouldn't it be just better? You turn up, you don't have a concern about separation anxiety and it all going tits up, and you have to cope with half an hour of screaming before you get your hour and a half of quiet working. And I think pre-lockdown that was harder to describe, but I now post-lockdown people have had that merge of work life more.
Yeah.
And you just sometimes you're quite happy to have your child near you and not be separate, but just have a bit of help.
Yeah.
And that's what it, and I think at the moment people, and I think that, I don't think it's changed, that people have sort of, you have condensed hours, part-time hours, flexible working hours, and it's very difficult to get childcare on that basis because the person you're employing needs to know what and where and when and how much.
Yeah.
So that's hard as well. So the idea is really that you have your standard childcare, but we're a bolt-on with a backup.
Yeah.
And then parallel to that, people's lives change when you have kids, and so if you can become a member, and it's not, I suppose it's easier to describe like friends of, but...
Yeah.
You don't have to be a member. It's just that if you do, you get money off food and drink, and it's cheaper.
And you can book in advance.
You can book in advance. Yeah. Get thee.
I've really read the website.
You've done really
I think
well.
It looks amazing.
Oh, thanks very much.
I'm really glad I live nearby. I might have another baby just so I can be a member.
Do it, why not?
Yeah.
But also there's a platform for members. So, and that's really trying to address the postnatal depression bit. I don't feel qualified for that. So we've partnered with a company called Parent Cloud. And so you can find out, you get access to all their webinars, and you can book one-to-one consultations, and if you're a Peace and Work member you get 20% off all those things.
Get in.
Okay,
so,
anyway, food,
let's talk about eating. It's mad you've not been on the podcast before, actually.
I think
we've been friends for years.
Yeah, I know, nearly for a long time.
Have you ever accidentally eaten anything that's not food? I feel like that's a terrifying thing to ask a parent, but I'm just going to ask
me personally,
all of you, have you ever accidentally eaten anything that's not food?
A needle?
Yeah. What? Are you all right?
Well, yes, it was a long time ago.
Okay.
I've made it through. I was about 12.
Wow.
And because I was quite a cool kid.
That is quite old. That's quite old to just eat a needle. I love it that you were like, did you do it to be cool?
No. Obviously not.
Okay. It's me. Okay, I'm having a bit of lemon and poppy seed just to sort of take the edge off the fat.
Yeah, they're very nice. It's very nice. It's surprisingly light.
Yeah. So was that other one.
Which one did you? Which was the other one you had? I just wolfed them down in the kitchen.
Cinnamon bun.
Oh yeah, that was really nice. Yeah.
Oh my god, great lemoniness.
Yeah, you're sort of making me want another piece.
Another piece.
I don't know why. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were doing. Did they say about you doing? They were doing tastings. You done? No.
Already today.
Oh, I done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Followed really a needle because I was cool. I was doing some cross stitch, Natch. And
age 12. Just a bit
I really like.
Just a bit of pubescent cross stitch. We've all been there. Not.
I was doing that.
On the.
So I was doing art and I had read about, well, everybody does art, you have to do it at year 12, yeah. But I had read about like alternative, like it's quite fashionable now, but then a bit of a sad dickhead. But anyway, I was doing it anyway, I swallowed the needle because I don't remember how something happened. I was shocked, my mum scared me by telling me off the bus. I don't know, like, and I just remember the gasp of, oh, fuck. Yeah, because
oh
I was trying to rethread and then I got in a muddle, yeah. And it was just that. Yeah,
it's just
and,
like in your mouth,
yeah,
anyway.
and then something and I don't know how, and I was like, I think, and I was looking round, going, no. I've imagined it, it's probably just a tickle, and
oh,
and
no.
Looking round and having to go to my mum, and it's only about and only
who's just told you off about
best
something else,
yeah,
ever
yeah. She was quite cross. And then when I'd only recently, we'd been to Aoni because I've been with
because you'd done some other.
Yeah, I fell down a tree and a branch down my stomach, stuck in my stomach.
Oh, yeah. No.
But
so
I still
you had
got
a branch
scar
in your stomach,
yeah.
And a needle in your mouth.
Not at the same time.
Like an old wife's tale.
I know.
I should say that on the way out to the garden to record this afternoon, Caroline.
I did fall.
Fell on both knees just over a rope.
But really slowly.
Really slowly.
It looked like I'd been given some really bad news.
Like you had some really bad news. Jess has arrived from
Clonk.
Oh, Jesus. I loved it. I
so,
do
yeah.
need to know whether you were forced to poop the needle out.
Yeah. No, you do, yeah, but they give you something to swallow. I can't remember, to be honest. It was quite traumatic. Nobody had to do anything.
Reach down.
No.
Or up.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
No, I think I was given something that meant it would come out more easily or it would cushion
God.
It or...
Some
I can't
gum.
Remember.
It's a pointy
yeah.
business that stresses me out.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I mean... Finer points across. It was not having to go through things, so it's fairly blunt.
Right.
So it wasn't going to.
Phew.
Yeah, but it was a bit.
Jesus crumbs. Oh. Sword swallowing
so
on a tiny.
You remember?
I don't remember. Yeah. And I don't even remember. I know it happened because my mum's too modern for me. I fell on my face as a kid, ended up in A&E for that. I mean, so many things.
Laughing.
Yeah, I fell off a bike, got the bike pedal caught in my leg. So many things. Like, I know. So I can't really remember that. But anyway, I just remember that.
That's the best answer anyone's ever given.
Yeah, we can't top that.
Yeah, I know.
There's no point.
I'll get a new question for you too.
Yeah, sorry.
Are there any foods or drinks that you love that everybody else hates or vice versa?
Oh, you've got loads like that, Hannah. Your ones, you love like all the bitterest things in the world.
Oh, tell
people,
me bitter things.
Hannah's got
you
a
love.
Really
Wally,
bitter
some
palate.
I do like bitter
have
things.
You got,
yeah, you don't
Aperol,
say it.
Like it's Aperol
a slur.
Spritz, does that count? You say it like
Aperol
it's a slur.
Spritz.
And
no,
she thinks Aperol Spritz, exactly.
It is sweet.
That's, but like, but Hannah's got a very...
Grapefruit rosemary for you.
Yeah. Hurrah.
I just really like bitter things. I've always... On a lot of our menus, will you find something like radicchio, which isn't to everyone's.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like that, is it that purpley,
tiny,
skinny,
very
pointy lettuce that tastes of medicine?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But Hannah doesn't taste that.
She just tastes delicious.
Nice. Whereas I would be like, oh, let's put something sweet on it or grill it. You're like,
grill it.
Yeah, the nice. And that, you know, I have to say, I don't have the sweetest too.
Right.
I can't finish those two plates of cake, don't get me wrong.
Well, you won't need to because I'm here. This carrot cake's really nice.
It's
the carroty
lovely.
Bit's so gingery, and also they've like dumped a whole bottle of nutmeg on the roof, which I'm feeling
very
great.
Nice.
Yeah.
I just think, bitter is absolutely
bitter's good,
my favourite,
okay,
but I can't pick
bitter
out
things.
Anything that's weird about
I think
that.
Radicchio is pretty niche.
Can I tell you a weird thing about
bitter
things?
Yeah.
So my husband's mum, Uta, Shout out to Uta.
Shout out to Uta.
Yeah, German. My husband's German. And it's always have to paraphrase this in case I sound rude. It's like, it's all right, I'm married to German, it's fine, love them all. But she loves bitter food to the point. So you know that you can get cocoa which has got... it's all, if you taste it, you can taste the bitterness of the cocoa, but there's no sugar in it at all, really. But you can taste the grease as a result of that. And, mm-hmm. So I hate it. She loves it. It's so bitter. I love it. And she likes Campari and all that sort of stuff. But apparently, I've met a very nice young lady, and I don't think this is true, but in theory, that the more bitter the flavours you like, the more likely you are to be a psychopath. Isn't that amazing?
Anna,
yeah.
Again, interesting, because I've worked with you now for a while. What's your take on that, Rachel?
Yeah, you're the one to decide whether or not Anna's a psychopath. No comment, okie dokie. That's exactly what you said. She was a psychopath.
I don't think anyone's applied to work with us yet, but I don't take that person.
you've got an assistant kitchen manager. That's
true. Yeah. I love
He's
it.
Locked in.
Yeah. I love them.
So you like.
That's so... I'm going to look that theory up. Was it like BuzzFeed or was it medical journal?
I can't remember, but no. Both Max and I, that's my husband, jumped on it with glee. Really enjoyed it. She's a lovely woman. She is a lovely woman.
What about people... Does it say anything about... Because I really like really salty things like a rungam. Do you think that means I'm a...
Sociopath?
Yeah.
No, yeah. All the paths.
All the
natural
paths. Homeopath.
Yeah.
Homeo pigeon. Okay, newest question. What's the worst looking but best tasting thing you've ever had?
Carrot.
Oh, probably a mussel.
A mussel?
Yeah. Because when you're handed those, you know, you just think no. But I can't go that far with an oyster. I can't cope. I think it's partly... I mean, what's that?
You're wrong.
I know. Everyone says that. Everyone what likes oysters says that. But no, it's they say when you squirt lemon in it, winces or whatever, that's just... And I've gone much more wimpy as I've got older.
Oh,
about
really?
You don't like when they...
Squeamish.
Yeah. But also, I mean, okay, so, like, I've got less pro-death in the old... dead animals phase,
yes.
And so the actual oyster moving before you eat it is in that area of.
But it's got no brain.
It doesn't matter. Okay. It's not logical. It's not
fine.
So yeah, but I mean the other day I was like, yeah, I've got one, but yeah, I do love them though. But I don't. Yeah, I can't do oysters yet. Maybe
Mussels
it's just
are
not been,
extraordinary. It's
yeah.
been too long.
Like they're so creamy.
So good.
I love
so
them.
So sweet.
Yeah,
that colour.
They just fall into the vaginal section of the food.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's just that whole category.
It's all inside.
It's all very.
It's not very family friendly. But
no.
when I was at school, we used to call scampi fries minge crisps. And still to this day, I can't really. You only can buy them in a pub. But I can't really order them without being like. And like blushing. Oh dear. How about you guys? What's the worst looking but best tasting thing you've ever eaten and or maybe made?
Oh, so many things that I make because I'd say both of us, maybe slightly more me, I hate food wastage. Mm-hmm. And it's like a passion. And I don't think it... necessarily, although I'd like to think it doesn't necessarily come because of an environmental issue. It's just like the greed inside me hates the fact that some might be wasted.
Yeah. Someone else might eat it, or
yeah, no.
Very much. I think the idea. I know just what you mean. There's an environmental element,
yeah.
But it's in my DNA.
Yeah.
The idea that no one's going to eat it fucks with my head.
Oh, totally.
Like I hate throwing food away, even if it's like grown. A new head.
Totally.
And my partner's the opposite. So that's a
and
domestic
exactly
tussle.
The same as mine. So we did a small catering event the other night and it was mainly salads.
Yeah.
Sure, because we're rich salads, but not necessarily. and so we took some home because there was leftovers and it went into this 4-litre container.
That was disgusting. And I got complaints from my partner
well,
about that.
Wait. What I did with mine in this hodgepodge kind of like sandpit version of salads, which is like one part beans, one part just old vinaigrette watercress.
Oh.
a couple of pieces of bread with anchovies on top, which just went in.
Okay.
Because I was like, not right. throwing them away.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
This is not happening.
It's not happening. No. This is purely personal.
Okay, I know. Just
happy. Yeah. I took mine home and I turned it into a stew.
Oh yes.
What I put it all
that's
in the pot.
That's disgusting, Rachel.
It was delicious. I put some stock in it, but it was brown. It was a very brown mess. I took out the watercress.
Yes,
the beans went
okay.
down. The chicken went in.
Yeah,
it was delicious.
That's
that sounds okay.
Home vibes.
That's home vibes.
Home vibes.
It's home
that.
Vibes.
Yeah.
You might
well,
want
home
to edit
vibes
it
is most. Yeah, you'd hope that home vibes is where you'd have most of your worst looking but best tasting experiences.
Well, that's
unless you're having like oysters at home. Well, you'd have a very brave layperson near that's not a chef to just be or like Major's French or whatever. But, like, to be like, oh, I'm just having some oysters at home. Who does that?
This
you
guy.
Do that.
Well, you should. You should.
You're
right.
Oyster.
Yeah, that's all right.
I used to be an oyster chef.
Yeah,
you
were an oyster genius.
So, yeah, I got very.
There might be an oyster bar opening over there.
Oh,
rumours.
God.
Rumours. Yeah, apparently.
So you can go over there for your aphrodisiacs after you've had a great time with your child.
Yeah. Open the evening as well. No children then.
Okay. Is it?
Yeah.
And the bar and stuff.
Yeah. Bit of grown up food as well.
Delicious.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All of you, have you ever had a patch where you ate the same thing every day? I'm trying a piece of tarte au citron.
Do it. Go in. It's all about the lemon today.
Mm-hmm.
I can think of my, sort of like, when I was about 18, was a pretty strong point of just, I didn't care about food yet, and I just left home, and it was just like, tarma salata on pita bread from Sainsbury's, not good stuff. Or just tortellini and pesto.
Yep.
That was just complete, like, and it never bothered me that I ate the same thing every night.
Yeah.
Just didn't compute that was a problem.
Is it though?
I mean, now obviously that absolutely horrifies
it's
me.
A problem.
Oh yeah, it's definitely a problem. Like, it makes sense that I had chronic tonsillitis and every cold and like under the sun I caught. Probably.
There's just not enough vegetables. So.
Yeah, no range of colour,
no,
nothing.
No
you know,
diversity.
The student diet, which
yeah,
is just,
yeah.
Quite poor.
No microbial diversity.
No, exactly.
Just learn
well
that.
Done.
Just learn that.
Nice. Very good.
Yeah. Yes.
What generation? So you look a lot younger than me, but
I'm
that's
31.
A kind of... Oh, you are a lot younger than me, so I'm correct. But yeah, that's sort of like that's my generation of the new foods that came out. So for your generation, it's like baked beans, really, or...
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, well, tamarind salad was kind of popular, but it was like, oh, tamarind salad.
I think that was quite a swanky thing to like.
That's what I mean, yeah. But I think, I mean, how old are you,
Rachel? I'm 37.
Yeah, so you're, I still think it was I still think it's swanky, but it was very new for my age group. But that's sort of what I'm meaning. But maybe for your age group, 10 years later, like, don't
Caroline,
know, mate.
You're going to have to tell us what your age group
I'm 41.
Is. Because now I'm looking
She's 41,
for
I know.
She's
doing some terrible
guessing.
With a needle in her throat.
Did you ever have a patch, Anna, of eating the same thing every day?
I never did.
Never, ever?
I never did.
Even as a babe?
Even as a babe, I, as far as I've been told, came out absolutely starving and have consistently been starving my entire life. And just always... I really remember the first thing I made very proudly when I think I was probably about maybe 4 or 5 years old. Is that I found a biscuit tin, favourite biscuit, custard creams, obviously. I made a pyramid of custard creams, found a golden syrup tin, which I knew where it was because as a form of entertainment, my mum would give me the golden syrup tin and a spoon and just watch me play with it, which is really fascinating. Have you ever done it? Just like golden syrup, watching it.
It's on my list now.
Yeah. Do you know what I think about but have never done? And it's exactly like what you're saying, but you know you get those... basically, farmers or very posh people have a wooden swiggler to go in their
honey thing, yeah.
With like...
They don't work.
Do they not work?
I don't think they do.
They look... They've got like a bulb on the end with like ridges and grooves. And I think about it, but I've never done it in my life, dipping one in and squiggling it around on the way out. What are they meant to do?
I don't know.
Swirl it all around and then it...
I've been given them as a present... often and looked at it and thought, real does it like guess like oh thanks and then gone oh
another I'll have one because I just want the experience one just one of them I don't need them all
I'll see what I've got.
It's the sort of thing I could probably get in Tiger. I love Tiger.
Oh, it's
they'll
so good.
Have one, won't they? Will you get any kitchen equipment from Tiger? Okay. I love the idea that you farted about a golden syrup. It's more you know what you're going to get with that, whereas honey, again, stressful in the sense that you don't eat it up quick enough, and that bit just gone hard.
Survives, yeah, totally.
And then what? Microwave if you want
chew it.
Chew it. Just chew it down. Chew it down and dribble it out. Mouthwise.
Like I said earlier, do not waste.
Do not waste.
Oh yeah, boiling water.
Yeah, you put don't pour it into the boiling water, but yeah, put the jar.
Put the whole
you.
Thing in the boiling water.
Yeah. What did you make?
Wanted to hear
the
custard. I'm still here.
You're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe it.
Okay, custard creams.
It was a
golden
stack
syrup.
Of custard creams with a tin of golden syrup all over it. And I presented it to my mum and I was so proud of myself. And I was like, I've made you dinner. And she was like, wow, you definitely have an eating problem. But so no, I've just always found myself to be very creative in the kitchen, as
that
you can
is
tell.
Awesome.
So there's always something different going on.
Oh, I love it.
You're a bit of a reactionary, yeah,
I
to that.
So, yeah.
Like, oh no, overload.
Yeah. Yeah, and a few fillings.
Good work.
Oh, I love it.
Oh. Oh, sorry, you're getting dusted up.
I don't care. I like asking people how they feel about the 5-second rule, but people get funny about it when I ask it at the opening of a restaurant. we'll go with what's the swankiest thing you've ever eaten?
Well, not oysters for you.
No, I think I'm not eating. I don't know actually. I went to a place that had a tasting menu once.
That's so swanky.
It is swanky, but I can't remember a thing of it.
Oh.
No, I know, that's bad, isn't it?
None of the things.
I mean, it was 15 years ago.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not a reflection of it. But I remember the experience of thinking, once you'd gone past about 4 things, I couldn't take it in anymore.
Right.
And it got to a point of just being polite every time something arrived. Oh, wow! Going, because it's quite the thing is
because you were full.
Yeah, and it's also even though it's smaller portions, it's always quite rich. They're like, oh, it's smaller, so it's okay if it's rich. Yeah, if you were doing 3 courses, but this is like 12, and it was a big old do. And I can't remember. I think maybe it was a 30th, so maybe it wasn't 15. I don't know, but it was like, and I didn't fit into that. I'm not very good at that. I sort of like that over
formal dining that goes on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
And on. Right.
I'm not into it.
Do you feel like you can't leave?
Yeah.
It's a long commitment. I've never
thought
of
it. Yeah, it's like being
on
a boat party. Like, you can't get off.
Yeah, yeah. Or some people call them a cruise. No, thank you.
No, not... Yeah. But, yeah, it was a long, long old dip. But, I mean, it's very, very rich. A lot of cream. I remember that. Everything seemed to be So my memory of it is a lot of pâté-based things. It wasn't necessarily pâté, but it seemed to have been pâtéed.
Parfait, a pâté.
Yeah.
What are the other... a foam of... awful foam.
Yeah, it was, it was that period where everything looked like being gobbled.
Yeah.
I'm not... Fine. Yeah, yes. But I remember that, and it was... Yeah. And there's this huge pressure of... And my dad told me once, like, if you ever, because I told him, he said, just look like you know what you're doing and look like you know the rules so well that you can ignore them. And then it doesn't matter if you don't know the rules. And I, that's quite a thing to pull off. But it was, but it is a thing of just going, oh, I'll just have that. You know, and it is that confidence. But it was very helpful advice. Like, but it, well, it didn't, it took away the drink maybe, but you can just, that has been helpful advice where I have got into places like, so, yeah, where you're a bit kind of like, oh my god, this is not my... It's like I went to a wedding recently ish and lockdown and I'd arrived in what I was wearing, which was at the time basically, to be honest, like a velvet sack.
Lovely.
And but I was pregnant, so it was a winter wedding. Like winter weddings are
winter
tricky.
Wedding, it's basically meant to wear a velvet.
You are. But I also had a big sort of slick of red lipstick and my hair was a bit...
I bet you
look
really fit.
Yeah. Just, thanks, babes. But then, but also pregnant. And then I had to turn around the corner, me and Matt holding hands, and I was like, oh, this is not my tribe. And everybody was very much all in, and I knew the bride. We've been friends for a long time, but you know how everybody's got like a breadth of friendship group, so you have like one end that are this end, like the, or like, so this group people were the Hobbs wearing friends, and like
wow,
like
yeah,
and it was
yeah,
and then
yeah.
and I turned up and I was like, oh my god, and it was, I just, it was really interesting, that sort of confidence went. And it's the same thing about going into, you've been invited somewhere, the tasting menu, the restaurant, that you're like, this is not my tribe. And but it's that helpful advice of just pretend you know the rules. But you're ignoring it.
There's also I think there should be a bit more pressure on restaurants to make anyone feel welcome, unless their unless their brand is pretension.
Yeah.
Then you shouldn't feel silly. If people really want to show off amazing food for everyone, then you shouldn't make anyone feel silly in those environments. I think I'd go too far the other way and sort of pipe up. Quite unabashed in a posh restaurant to be like, this is so fun, like really way too happy to be there, and then also like, you put the bread in a bag, and just like saying what I taste. I haven't had loads of posh meals, that's why I still get so giddy about them now. Right now it's been ages, but I remember somewhere where it was quite a lot of courses. It was somewhere in Cambridge. And there was a pistachio. Oh, what's it called? Where it all puffs up and you're not allowed to take it out the oven.
Oh, souffle.
Souffle. A pistachio souffle that everyone was like, oh my God, about. And I was like, guys, it just tastes of eggs. It's green, but it tastes of eggs, and it's meant to be the
As bird. A combo, that's not good, is it? I
no,
green
taste
eggs.
Or green eggs and ham, Sam. I do not like green eggs and ham. And they were like, shh. And I wonder how many of them were just pretending to like it.
That's
the thing, like,
the immediate shush.
Hype. You know, when people get it pretty high on that's their own supply.
Yeah.
And they're just like on Instagram posting pictures, and you go and eat there and you're like, it's shit.
Well, cake wise, your Peace and Riot is already high on my supply. You two, what's the swankiest thing you've ever eaten?
I wish I could think of.
I don't go there.
You eat fucking lush stuff.
Yeah,
it's true.
But it's not swanky.
Yeah,
okay. I wouldn't term it as swanky. I'd say simple but delicious.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I wouldn't say swanky.
Exactly like you said, Caroline. Any place that I've been which would be a bit swanky, I can't remember
anything
at all.
I avoid
really?
It like the plague. Yeah. I've never gone to a Michelin star restaurant because I fucking hate that shit.
Yeah.
It's just like the opposite of anything that I care about.
Yeah.
Like, I know that everyone's having a horrible time in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Nobody's, like, slept in weeks.
I suppose when you know it from the other side of the coin, that's a completely different thing.
And then,
if you're going there with empathy for the chefs, which is not something 99% of people going in there, that would change everything, actually, isn't it? I suppose that's like, Yeah, I suppose it would ruin so many things, though, wouldn't it? You couldn't really go to the ballet and enjoy it. You'd be like, oh, they're so hungry.
Yeah, I like that. That's what I do now.
They're so sad. Why did their mum say that to them? This is horrible.
Yeah.
I feel like you go to those restaurants and they start spinning some yarn about how well fed the cow was and what a great life they had. And you're like, that cow's had a better life than the people who work in this restaurant.
Yeah.
Why do you care about that more than them? But there we
fine.
Go.
Fine. Okay. Yeah. Well, that is a very interesting take on bougie restaurants, which I haven't ever thought about. And I've loved learning. And will ruin all future swanky restaurants.
Yeah. Sorry, everyone.
It won't. Hannah, hangover, what are you having?
Back when I was... able to have hangovers.
No.
Able to have them. I definitely have them.
You had quite a few.
My go-to was probably usually just another drink.
Well,
that's what I mean about the hangover you're able to have.
It's been a long year. I think that's the only answer that anyone's ever given me that works.
Yeah.
All the other answers are like, a swim in the sea, bacon,
Is swim in the sea quite often?
It's mine. I'd like to swim. The dream, if I can get in the sea, I'm sort of halfway fixed.
Wow.
But it's halfway.
Yeah.
Bacon,
yeah.
Halfway. Diet Coke, halfway.
Yeah.
Massive curry, halfway.
Yeah.
And then you get people, a lot of people on the podcast who are like, it's just really fresh and vegetable. Like a
No.
Greece. Get fucked.
That's not true.
People say it. And I go, oh my God.
I just think what you've got to think about, like a remedy to a hangover or any sort of cure, is that if you medicate it with anything but alcohol, you're just putting yourself in line for some sort of other problem, which is like a massive curry.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got a massive curry inside you. And that's quite terrifying and sluggish and like, oh God, could be sick, not sure, need to sleep.
Sometimes
you've got to get to the sea.
Yeah,
and then
you've got to get to the sea, that's 4 hours.
Get sick in the car.
4 hours to get to the sea, that wasn't worse. Mm. That made it worse. I've never done 4 hours shift a hangover. Sometimes that, like, oh my God, I've got a massive curry in me feeling is worth it, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I had a very, very stressful, long, long journey. It was meant to be a couple of hours to Manchester for a gig, and obviously I've not been doing that for a long time. And everything was cancelled and delayed, and it was on, off. I ended up to get off the train, book a hotel to do an online thing, get back on another train that was also delayed, only just making it to the gig. Then the gig,
oh God,
I'm just
going to
say,
so
it wasn't very nice. Like, it was hard, and it on paper looked like it should be nice.
Oh,
and
no.
then I got to my B&B and I realised I hadn't eaten anything since about 11, and I was like, I know I want to go to sleep, but I am going to eat an enormous amount of takeaway first.
Nice.
And it really ruined the night's sleep, but it was worth it. For the experience just during the eating.
Yeah. Like 10-minute window of pure pleasure.
I dragged it out over 20 minutes, half an hour.
In fact, dragged
longer,
it out.
I did. I sort of nibbled my way through series 3 of Motherland, actually. Very good.
Yeah.
And, and was in pain, actual pain.
Yeah,
I like that.
But never unhappy.
I like
never
when you wake up
choice.
And it's all still
it's
there.
It's still there.
Yeah.
You just stand up and you're like, oh, there's curry.
No, I wasn't hungry until after lunchtime.
Yeah.
And that never happened to me. I was like, yeah, okay, it's a long time since you put that much in your body to get to try and sleep by. Yeah. Hangover, Caroline?
Oh, I haven't... nothing worked ever. I would say I don't have a solution because literally nothing ever worked. I just always felt terrible. And my friend, do you remember Jory? So I started doing comedy in a duo with the lovely Joy Thomas. Hi, Joy. She would have hangovers. She had coined the phrase, have you had a 4 o'clock cry yet? and I still talk about it, which is that 4 o'clock cry, and it's true. I always wake up going, "Oh, fine,
yeah,
oh yeah, I'm so good. Look at me." And then 4 o'clock, I feel so ill, and I don't feel that great. But I mean, I didn't drink properly for a long time but then lockdown, we're all back. No worries.
Great.
And because you just were so trapped, you had to kind of escape it within your own body via booze. That is not a problem. I'll talk about that some other time. I didn't ever. I've never solved a hangover. They really make me feel so ill, and I don't think the fresh thing works because your stomach's so screwed. You put anything in it, you can be sick.
Yeah, but you don't put anything in it, you want to be even sicker.
Yeah.
It's very hard, isn't it?
It is. Marmite on toast, we'll go with that.
Lovely choice.
There you go.
What are your opinions on where do you think food's going to go in the future? Maybe in terms of technology or the environment?
Ooh. Well, I reckon it's going in our new oven.
Yeah, which, well done. Just, very good.
Which was a, oh,
yeah, they had a lovely day today, didn't you?
Such a good day. Such a good day. Just been driving around the new Tesla in the kitchen.
Yeah.
It's nice. Amazing.
You've
yeah,
got
yeah.
the eco oven.
It's a combo therm.
Yeah, what? It's all right. You've had the thing, not me. I bought it. That's as far Whoa. As it went. I took advice, bought it.
Available.
You're okay. Yeah.
But this is the best one.
Yeah.
It's a combo therm, and it was just, I mean, it's like.
It's
like
a computer game.
Yeah, it's. Oh, wow. It's the Sonic.
I'll show you it in a bit.
Of ovens.
Whoa.
You can do and it cleans it. Itself.
Cleans itself.
Oh, my God.
Talks to you. You can upload photos.
What? Why?
I know.
Of
I
the food
it's
within.
To Tinder yeah. or something. Oh, I thought
you
were.
Swipe left. Yeah, you can like put photos and people in it. Great.
It's just really good. And it sort of negates all other equipment in the kitchen, which wow. makes me think this is the future of food.
Yeah.
It's just
one machine.
Yeah. You just look at it and it says, you are 3 portions of Rogan Josh hungover. That's what's coming out.
Nice.
You know?
Yes, like that's a 3D printer. A
bit like that scene in Back to the Future where they have the tiny pizzas and then their big pizzas.
I don't remember that bit.
Glorious.
I'm more Caroline's generation than yours.
Yeah, sure.
All trousers get a disease that turns them into skirts, or worse, culottes. Remember culottes? Anyway, yeah, there's a trouser drought. That's the jeopardy. At first, it's just impractical, but then actually we realise it's impossible to run anywhere or be anywhere warm without chub rub and sweat thigh destroying lives. The mere lack of choice alone, especially for previously skirt-averse people, is horrible. War breaks out. Trousers agree to take the antidote and return, but only if you, and weird it does have to be you three, get from one end of a road of terraced houses to the other, but only by going through the houses, like as in through the walls, or over the houses, but without the use of any tools. It sounds impossible, but you do it! You're heroes. You've saved us all from a trouserless life. Your reward in reality is the adulation of all people for all time. But obviously, your reward in the moment is the feast of your dreams. Bearing in mind, however, you are physically fucked up from having to smash over and through a whole terrace of houses.
And apologise to them all.
And all the sorry you didn't have the time to stop for snacks. You are starving, so you're really hungry, but because of all the adulation, you're so happy, you're like happy as a clam, happy as you can be. So it's the opposite of a last meal, because you couldn't be happier or hungrier. And you're allowed to shower or chill out or whatever until you want to eat. And then when you want to eat, I want to know what you're going to eat. Nothing has to be possible. This is a fantasy feast. I don't give a fuck about ethics, consequences, health, you know, thank you. Whatever you feel like, even if it doesn't exist, I want to know what you'd eat, what you'd drink, if there's a who with and where, who with and where. I don't care who goes first.
It's a lot. I've got to absorb the emotional impact of that
okay,
story
I'm
first.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I thought we just ate our way through the houses as well.
Yeah.
So.
You can have done that. Oh, no,
I
want you to be hungry.
That's your go-to. Yeah. This I'm is how I get through. I will eat through it all.
I'm going
to try the brownie.
The only meat that I still eat is chicken, and that's not because of any kind of chicken's less intelligent than everything else, but it's just that's the one I like the most, so that's the one I've been less willing to give. Mm-hmm. And I do absolutely love roast chicken.
Mm.
I really like that. At no point would that ever be a bad thing to get, like,
yeah.
never. And it, I think, probably even
oh
if
God,
like
these brownies are fit,
they are really nice,
yeah.
They're really nice. They're so nice, you eat probably too many and then feel a bit sick after.
Well, I think I'm on my fourth try of cake now.
No, you're doing really well.
Thank you.
Chicken, I love mango.
Mm.
I mean, really, like, in a sort of, like, get all the stringy bits stuck in your teeth,
yeah.
going around the stones.
Nice.
I have just done an episode, which, by the time this goes out, will have gone out with Cindy V, who sent me the best mangoes in the world, called Alfonso.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are amazing.
Changed my life.
Yeah, they are amazing. Which is correct. And then, but, and I really like... A light well, I know Pinot Noir is light, but like a light Pinot Noir that's been aired a bit.
Okay.
Not when it's all tight and like apologetic, it doesn't work out yet. But when it's had a bit of time to get used to it. That doesn't go together, but I really like those.
Great.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And
they will go together because it's a fantasy.
Yeah. Obviously.
You too? And you have to answer again, I'm afraid, Rachel, because your answer's probably changed.
First thing that comes to mind is the meal that I had when I've been thinking about it a lot lately, because I've got really into lobster.
Mm.
Went to Billingsgate, and now I've decided that I want to eat a lot more lobster.
Okay. I've got really into lobster.
Okay.
And I just remembered, you know, and you remember one of those.
Yes, when sorry, in Dulwich,
not on the menu.
Can't afford anything else.
Yeah. Casa de Raquel, there's lobster on the menu. Yeah. But yeah, basically, I remembered this meal that was like, when I was in Cuba, food was so shit. Unfortunately, it wasn't that great. Apart from lobster and plantain, was the best thing I'd ever eaten. And I've been thinking a lot about it and trying to recreate the exact way that they did it. Not quite got
I
there.
Can lobster see that as a combo.
Lobster and plantain.
That does work.
So good. So that's what I'm having. Thank you. Add that to the menu.
Okay, no problem. Cuban lobster and plantain.
That's nice. I mean, I'm going to go definitely a seafood platter.
Okay, very nice.
I'm talking,
cold,
hot. A bit of both, a mixture.
Okay, different layers. When, like we get them on a cake stand. Where you get like,
exactly.
Like a fountain, hot layer, cold layer.
I even want Welks. I even want
Welks.
Them, just so I can say, I'll have you. I'll have one of you, but I really like you. But
so slightly. Weird.
And I want a full bowl of Rachel's aioli to dip it all in.
Okay, stunning.
And then I want a platter of perfectly ripe, perfectly in season. Tomatoes, probably basilio, just with olive oil and salt, and then a side of really good bread, probably focaccia. That's right, just
in
oil. Just, I did that sound that you told me.
Yeah,
not
I know.
To do.
Oh, I know. No, I didn't. Hang on, just
the one.
I didn't like, give you orders before, like
no masticating on air.
She told me what to say. Blink twice. Yeah. I've been trapped in the kitchen for 3 hours. I'd have that, and then I'd have a great big fresh fruit platter as well. Fruit is delicious.
Yeah,
it
is. Yeah.
And then I'd have lots of different types of wine, actually.
Yeah, very nice.
Lots of
any
types
faves?
Of wine. I really like a nice, it's kind of uncool, but a Chardonnay.
And a pint. Just a little pint. It's a cheese course. Just one little pint of lager as a cheese course. Do you want to be my best friend? Oh, yes, please.
I got the first round in, guys.
Yay. I've loved this. Thanks for letting me try your cakes. I feel like you've just watched me eat cakes. I hope you did try them all earlier.
They did.
Just sort of sat here and fed me. Well, you didn't feed me. I just did it all off my own back.
You don't just sell cakes.
And they're going to be all there's going to be savoury things as well.
And they're doing all the recipe development at the moment.
That's so thrilling.
It is actually. Sorry.
Good luck with everything.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks so much.
I'm in my tongue. What glorious guests. Peace and Riot opens on the 21st of June, although memberships, which give you all sorts of perks and discounts, are already open now and they are flying fast, so get in there. Follow them on Instagram at Peace and Riot Co. Their website is also peaceandriot.co. Follow Butch Salads while you're at it, at Butch Salads. Please, please, please come and see Hoovering Live on the 17th of July with Joe Brand at 5 p.m. More guests being announced very, very soon, and they are going to be fucking exciting. Come and see Hench if you missed it before, or you feel like seeing it get again, re-remembered and mildly zhuzhed up. I shouldn't say mildly, should I? God, I am crap at tooting my own horn. I'm going to zhuzh it up a little bit so that it makes sense in the modern climate. In a post-pandemic world, not that it all needs, anyway, shut the fuck up. All I need you to do is come and see it if you want. It's at the Soho Theatre all through June. There's only 5 dates though, and it's very nearly sold out, and it's only standing tickets left only now, I'm afraid, sorry. But it is going all around the country on tour. Cat jumped in my face. You're going to come to see Hench on tour, Conrad? Padding around, getting in a way of my podcast recordings? He's not even coming. He wouldn't get it anyway.
This crap audience. He's just sitting on the microphone. Can you hear that? Get off. Conrad! Do you mind? I'm leaving all of this in, Conrad, so people know what a thug you are. Okay, as ever, everything I've mentioned throughout the podcast and in this is linked to in the podcast notes. If there's anything you think, oh, I can't remember what she was on about, or what's that crisp she was on about, I've never heard of them, any of that, I always put them in the podcast notes. Please use them, because it makes it worth me spending ages doing them. Feel free to support the podcast with lovely 5-star reviews and recommendations, or with cold hard money on Acast Supporter or Patreon. Follow me on social media at Jessica Foster Q. Anything longer than a tweet, my website is jessicafosterq.com. I hope you're already following the podcast at The Hoovering Pod. Okay, good. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy hoovering.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.